Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Welcome back to our podcast audience, which consists primarily of airline passengers who found an antiquated MP3 player tucked into the seat back pocket in front of them. Submitted for your approval, the strange case of AfterBuzz TV's Twilight Zone After Show, number 2, focused on the episode Nightmare at 30,000 Feet. An episode that will come abruptly to an end at 11 p.m. Pacific time, giving these hosts a limited amount of time to figure out what they can do to stop the end of the show. The Twilight Zone After Show starts now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Yes, imagine, if you will, an after show panel that has inexplicably doubled in size, but we're going to act like there's nothing strange about that at all. Hi, I'm Christian Blatt, joined once again by Raven.
Hello.
And new people on the other side of the desk, it's Angelica.
Hi, I'm Angelica Trey.
And I'm your man, Chaos J.
Wait a minute. Both J?
Hey.
You guys are related, obviously.
No, Angelica Trey.
Oh, okay.
That sounds similar.
So confusing.
Trey J.
All right. And by the way, shout out to everybody in the chat. If you're watching live, give us your thoughts, questions, comments on the episode Nightmare at 30,000 Feet. And yes, we will also be speaking about both. Well, I guess there's three previous versions of Nightmare at 20,000 Feet, if you count the short story. But I'm not much of a reader, so we're going to talk about the TV and movie versions of it. In any case, let's start big picture. We'll just go overall. We'll start with Chaos J on the other end of the desk. Just overall thoughts on the episode. You know, we've only had two so far. What did you think of Nightmare at 30,000 Feet?
I liked it. It was okay. Obviously, there were a few things that were lacking for me that I would have preferred they include and or omit, but it was okay overall.
Well, we'll definitely dive into all of that. Angelica, what'd you think?
I liked it as well. I thought it was a very modern take on the original from the series. I think that, you know, they built up sort of that paranoia, that suspense fairly well. And there was a little bit of a twist at that end, but I think we'll probably discuss that a little bit further later.
Oh, we're going to spend some time on that little twist at the end.
Thought so.
Sure. He definitely has a lot of thoughts.
Yeah, that might be most of the show. Raven, and what did you think of this episode?
I thought it was cool. Mm-hmm. I still, if you guys in the chat can let us know, because there were complaints about this show versus the first show, I enjoyed the comedian more.
Well, I'll tell you what I liked the most about it is that the comedian was a normal length that I was expecting. It was an hour and 1 minute. This is 37 minutes. I'm like, that's, you're not even trying. When, you know, I mean, look, the original Twilight Zone was a half hour show except for one season. So the fact that the original version is 25 minutes, well, that's what a half hour of television was in those days. Mm-hmm. This is streaming. This could have been 90 minutes if they wanted. It could have been anything. I don't think the story needed that. But I was just like, I mean, do something to make it a little bit longer. So, and it ends up being 37 minutes. And as I was saying right before we started, it would have been so much better if it was actually only 34 minutes. But anyway, let's kind of talk about the modern take of it. I think that they do a good job to sort of, you know, we get to meet Justin Sanderson right away, and we see that he's obviously gone through a, you know, some form of psychotic break, if you will. And just the way we all feel maybe when we're about to get on a flight, especially if the weather's bad, you know, I think that they did a good job to heighten all of that, you know, the annoyances of going through security and then just kind of eyeballing everybody on the plane. I thought that it was nice. Now, watching it the second time, it's like, oh, these are all the people that we're going to see later. Oh, there's the air marshal. Didn't see her coming. You know, a lot of that kind of stuff. But, you know, look, I think that they made a point. Like, when I'm watching it the first time, you see the Sikhs with the turbans on, and you're like, all right, obviously, and you know, in the 21st century, you see anyone looks like that on a plane, you're like, I have to act like I'm cool with that, but I might be nervous. So I thought that, you know, they checked off all the boxes. And I thought that, you know, they set the tone for what was going to, no matter what story they told. I thought it was going to be a more literal adaptation of the original. Mm-hmm. Few minutes in, you realize that's not the case. Angelica, what did you think about how they set the stage for the episode? You know, just him checking in and getting on the plane.
I thought it was interesting. I thought it was going to start right away, you know, on the plane, just like the original.
Sure.
I rewatched it, you know.
Yeah, I watched it last night. Yeah, exactly. I hadn't seen it in a little while. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it starts right on the plane. The entire episode takes place on that plane. However, in this updated version, in the Jordan Peele version, it is a lot more, you know, setting it up, going through that security, like you said, and interesting how they played around with, you know, some of the shots off of the plane as well. I don't know if that was necessary
sure.
in terms of the show, in terms of the suspense factor, but it was an interesting decision, I guess, to make along with that. And definitely just, you know, even with that phone call, I guess, building up towards that, Justin's, essentially, his fear, you know, his anxiety, his previous break and things like that. So I understand it from a setting up purpose or point.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That phone call is almost as though he's talking to himself. No, 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 everything's going to be fine. Like, he's trying to convince himself mm-hmm. almost as much as he's convincing who we assume is his wife. And we don't remember if he's a wedding ring on the episode. Whoever that is, you know, wife, girlfriend, whatever. What did you think as the episode began to unfold, Raven? Now, did you watch Nightmare at 20,000 Feet before this, or did you watch this one first?
I watched 30,000 first.
Okay, so the new one.
But not intently. I was doing things in the house.
Oh, okay.
So then I watched 20,000 intently.
Yep.
And then 30,000.
And then 30,000 again. Okay. So, so you didn't really come to 30,000 the first time expecting anything. What did you think, sort of the setup, and then, hey, what's this? What's this in the pocket in front of me? You know, that at that moment when he starts listening.
First. Just like I told you, I'm a little paranoid and naturally. So the plane thing, I'm like, please, I have too many horrible plane stories. But
yeah, and when you talked about this last week, your other big fear is getting up on stage and like having to like speak to a room full of people. So these
people
two episodes have
weird.
Really been to scare you, not anyone else
right.
in America.
Thank you, Jordan.
He's just focused on you at this point.
Yeah, Jordan, he's doing a great job off of building off of other people's anxieties, so to speak. So I think it's all purposeful.
First of all, too many coincidences in the beginning with the 10:15, I would just not get on the plane. A plane is not a place for coincidences. I would take that as a sign turn around. Then, do you keep listening to the thing?
Oh, I definitely keep listening.
You keep listening?
Yeah. By the way, to your point, like, oh, 10:15, 10:15, 10:15, I would think, oh, there's something wrong with that. But I'd get on the plane anyway. And then it would occur to me at some point, you know, like, I don't know, when I'm going off to like my certain doom, I'm like, oh, that really should have been a sign. I should have just gone home and taken a flight tomorrow. It's not raining.
That's kind of where I'm at with it. I probably would have been like, oh, that's kind of cool. And in my mind, I'd be like, you know, I'm going to write this down. Maybe I'll go play this, play the lotto when I get home. Like, I definitely wouldn't have used that as a harbinger of, you know what, something bad is about to happen. I should maybe not get on this flight.
Yeah.
I don't think there's ever been a situation, to be honest, that I've ever thought, you know what, maybe I shouldn't get on this flight. Granted, I'm here, so that means that I've survived every flight that I've taken, you know, right now. So, but I've never had that feeling.
I've had that feeling every time that the word on the plane is Southwest, but I get on it anyway.
Shots fired again.
I've had plane fear before. I've had plane anxiety. However, me being me, if I did find that podcast, I would have been a little spooked, and then I would have skipped forward to the end, just doing what I do. I get very, very anticipatory, and I would have probably just skipped to the end and been like, oh, never mind.
So we're going to die.
So, okay, real quick, and I hope I'm not jumping too far ahead.
That's all right. Go ahead.
The biggest thing that bothered me, first off, he pulls out this MP3 player, and I was thinking to myself, that's not a bad-looking MP3 player. Like, I haven't seen a good-looking one in a while.
Right.
But, so I get it. You're listening to it. The thing that bothered me was that no one was willing to even entertain listening to it. That was the thing that bothered me the most. And not even the fact that the guy is like, oh, well, it was on your ears, man. Oh, I don't want to get licensed. He gets up. Well, first off, you're bald-headed, so I'm pretty sure you're not, you know, licensed and concerned. But seriously, no one... And maybe this is just me being very nice, because I talk to everyone. I know no strangers. And if so, if that would have been someone sitting next to me, they'd be like, hey, man, you need to listen to this. I would have just humored them. Well, and listen to it.
But then also, once that guy gets up, he doesn't try to get anybody else. You know, I mean, the who we later find out is the air marshal is just across the aisle. Be like, look, I know this is crazy. I just need somebody else to listen to this. You know, I mean, somebody you would think would have listened if, you know, sure, that guy didn't want to. For whatever reason.
Well, when she detained him, I thought maybe she would have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but.
At that point, he's proven himself to seem a little.
Crazy, but why not just go ahead and indulge? Like, I mean, why not just say, you know, I'm going to humor you. I'm going to listen to this really quick. That doesn't have to change your opinion on whether or not you think he's Looney Tunes, but at least you can see, okay, you know what? This is a crazy heavy metal song. I see why he lost his mind. Or, oh, wow, this is kind of weird.
Right.
Were you going to say something, Angelica? You look like
well, one, there's nothing wrong with heavy metal.
No,
I didn't say that at all.
That was not meant as a diss.
I'm like a metalhead right here.
Can you listen to this Cannibal Corpse song, please? I'd like to see if maybe I'm just the one that...
It's good quality music.
Well,
you know?
Sure, exactly.
Yeah, definitely just going off of that, I could see, because this all happens within the course of 1 hour, if people are just tired and they're on this night flight, they're just trying to get through their days, I could see people not necessarily wanting to indulge or listen to this podcast. They're like, man, just sit down. I want to get where I'm going.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, no, I get that. And by the way, to backtrack to what Raven mentioned about, you know, all the 10-15s being an indication that maybe I'm not going to get on this flight. What I will tell you is at this point going forward, if I ever get on a flight and Adam Scott's on it, I'm not even going to think about it. I'm just going to turn around and be like, I'm going to take the next one. You know, and he's probably going to get that a lot now. You know, he'll be like, oh, yeah, I know. It's me. No, I'm not listening to a podcast.
Like, it's cool, man. I'm
yeah.
Good.
Yeah. So, but I would also be like, I'm pretty sure you should throw this guy off the plane. I actually don't want to take the next flight, but make him take the next flight. Anyway, I think that, you know, it's a cool idea. Look, there have been stories like this before where somebody finds a book that's somehow written from the future and they're reading along. So this device, I think it worked really well. I thought it was a cool take on telling this kind of story. You know, it almost works against it that you go into it thinking about how it's a retelling of an earlier original Twilight Zone episode. You know, because if this is just something that happens on an airplane, it's a different story. I think it works better if it stands alone, but it you know, it definitely has some of the familiar things that, you know, some of the familiar feelings. One thing that I wanted to ask Kelly when we were Chaos, when we were rewatching, you had something that you didn't notice I think you said three previous times you'd watched it. So what did you notice this time that you hadn't before?
Okay, well, to jump all the way forward.
That's okay.
The gremlin.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it was honestly, it is very minute. It was really just the whole, you know, him, the other guy not wanting to put on headphones.
Yeah.
I just, it didn't, I don't know, I guess.
It bothered you a lot more this time?
I just didn't even catch it. Like, I just, you know, he was like, you know, I got the whole ear thing. But then when he said, I don't want to get lice, I was just like, oh, okay, makes sense. But then when I thought about it more, I'm like, well, no, that doesn't make sense. And that could have been something that was kind of put in there for humor. But because we're already so serious and we're so into it that we didn't really see that as being mm-hmm. humorous. I don't know. That was one thing. And then I just had a lot of different observations. You know, and one was he was just very, very just trusting right off Jump Street. Like he...
I think after, you know, when you're listening to the podcast, I think after the first couple things, like, wait, that actually happened. Was that a bird? You know, and you have your old pal, you know, Joe Beaumont, who is really kind of enabling your paranoia.
He is.
While he sits there and drinks airline bottles, which we'll talk about in a moment.
Yes.
One of the things that I noticed, and I pointed this out when we were watching it, when we see Jordan Peele early in the episode, he's up on the TV screens. He's actually in that location from the very end of the episode, mm-hmm. which, of course, I wouldn't have recognized the first time. But it's like, oh, that's actually kind of cool. It also just means, you know, one half day of work for Jordan Peele. He got to shoot both of his right. things in the same day, which is probably what it comes to. Let's say he's a little busy. Before we move on to more points in the episode, though, Raven has this important message.
I have an important message, guys. Are you ready? Are you listening?
I hope.
We want to thank you. Thank you guys for watching. If you're watching on YouTube, thank you for listening. If you're listening on iTunes, thank you for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. So now, if you're watching YouTube, thumbs up. We need those. Subscribe. Tell your friends to subscribe. Tell your family to subscribe. If you are listening on iTunes, 5 stars. We'd like 5 stars. Thanks, guys. Thank you so much. There's so many shows that you can watch on AfterBuzz. If you're watching it, it's on AfterBuzz. If it's not, let us know. Talk to us in the chat. You're like our other co-host almost. So we want your questions. We want your thoughts. We want you to help us along with the show because we love what we do here at AfterBuzz. And we love you joining us. So come back, subscribe, and tell everybody. Thank you, guys.
Here in the chat, William Carr asked the question, I guess he hasn't seen the original episode, how does Adam Scott compare to William Shatner in the original? And I'll extend that to John Lithgow in the movie version. The first version of that I ever saw, of this story that I ever saw, was the movie version. And I was, let's see, when the movie came out, I was probably 7. So, I don't know, I saw it on HBO. I was probably like 8 or 9. I probably should not have seen that movie because, fortunately, my family didn't have enough money for us to fly anywhere. So I didn't get on a plane for a while. But the first time I was on a plane, it was always like, I don't want to look out the window, but I kind of feel like I got to make sure there's nothing out there on the wing. So, you know, you try not to do that. But I think that each of these portrayals is a very different kind of paranoia. I just watched William Shatner last night, and, you know, he has his classic, brilliant William Shatner delivery. And some people would think that the way I just said that would mean that I'm slighting him. But I will tell you that I don't mean that at all. Case in point, you can catch me Thursdays here at AfterBuzz at 10 p.m. for the Star Trek Discovery After Show. In any case, so I think that I thought that Adam Scott did a great job for this character having his fate basically in his ear, and nobody believes him. He came off way more annoying than Shatner or John Lithgow. He's super annoying in this episode. But Raven, what did you think comparatively?
I didn't recognize the first time of 30,000
right.
was that he also had a mental break.
Yes.
It's very obvious in 20,000 they let you know. Mm-hmm.
Yes, but he was like fresh out of a sanitarium, right. as Rod Serling let us know, yes.
It made me wonder if this one, 30,000 is a remake, if what he hears is really happening at all. Or is he...
Is he listening to somebody's heavy metal playlist and he just thinks he's hearing all of
this? If his fear is talking to him, and then, you know, your fears become reality.
Don't listen to heavy metal on a plane. Is the moral of this story.
I mean, not if you want to sleep, you know. Angelica, what do you think, comparatively, the different portrayals of paranoia?
Comparatively, yes. So definitely from the original, it was a lot more of a physical embodiment of this paranoia, trying to sabotage the plane, whereas this new kind of modern updated version, I guess. Updated is the wrong word, honestly, because I like them both pretty equally. But this new version, playing a little bit more with technology, and I was wondering that, similar to Raven, whether or not this podcast was even real.
Right.
Or there were moments where I was wondering if even Joe was real. So definitely, you know, left me asking a lot more questions as the viewer, more so than the original version.
Kay, I said the other end of the desk. What did you... Because you've seen the John Lithgow version. Is that
I've
the only one?
The only... I may have, because I've always done the binge watching, you know, of the marathons on the holiday weekends with my dad. I may have seen the William Shatner one.
Odds are pretty
honest,
good. Yeah, anytime you've done one of those Twilight Zone marathons, like
right.
I've also this is the first time I'd watched it in a while. But yeah, I've seen it, you know, probably six times.
Right.
You
and
know?
See,
yeah.
And I may have just been too young to remember it and right. to really recall it right now. So we'll just go off of the John Lithgow version. Watching it again, obviously, as a much, you know, older, you know, person, human, he was really annoying to me. he was just, oh, yeah, he was just so annoying. And the thing I appreciated about, you know, this modern, you know, this more modern version or this current version is it just seemed more real to me. Now, mm-hmm. granted, obviously, we're dealing with two different dynamics to a certain extent. But to me, this one just seemed more realistic. And for me, I would have been more inclined to believe Justin than the guy losing his, you know, losing his stuff, looking out the window. I would have just, if Justin just seemed a little bit to me, because he was a little more calm, but still, you could still kind of see a little bit of panic. I was like, okay, you know what? Hey, calm down. Let me take a listen to this and see what you're talking about.
Right, and Justin has the ability that he has proof, if you believe that he actually has it and he's listening to it, but then that would prove that it's not true if someone else does listen.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then also, if you do the original version where there's something out on the wing of the plane in the modern day, well, everyone can take a picture of anything that they see. So
right.
it's like, look, this is out on the window. I know you don't see him right now, but I got this picture of him. I think he's flipping me off,
now
and
you,
I think he's really messing with me.
Yeah, you know, I thought about that when I watched that. I tried to think about if this were modern times and this happened with a gremlin being on the wing, if John Lithgow would have taken the picture. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, they at a certain point, you kind of think, well, maybe he is having a psychotic break again, and maybe he's not, you know, he's just seeing this, and he's kind of just, he's tripping, you know. And I thought, what if he took the picture, and, you know, he has the picture, and he's looking at it, and he's like, see, it's right there, but everyone else looks at it, and they don't see
they
it.
They just see the wing.
They
yeah.
just see the wing, you yeah. know. So I thought, you know, I thought about that, too.
Well, it's and let us know in the chat what you think.
So obviously, I prefer the new version.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they're all good in a different
right.
way. I think that, you know, the Shatner version is sort of the first telling of
mm-hmm.
it. So there's something to be said for that. And they do have the limitations of a what I think it's 1963 television
mm-hmm.
budget, because the. The gremlin, come on, it's a guy in a gorilla suit with a silly mask on, you know, and he's like jumping up and down. And also, when he goes out the window and he shoots with the gun, and I'm like, so nobody's pressurized on the way out, you know, it's just like not even a little. I'm like, okay, so they just figured that nobody was going to fly a plane at that point, so they wouldn't know that that's not how it works. Anyway. It's a minor complaint. So I feel like, you know, look, there you can poke a hole in any of these.
Right.
And you can poke a hole in a lot of the Twilight Zone. And I think that's why you just have to go with it. And, you know, I think the best episodes, you all ask the question of, like, is this really weird thing really happening? Like, there's a great one with Telly Savalas and the doll talking Tina, who says things like, I'm talking Tina and I want to kill you. And it's like, but is he really hearing that? Yes, he is, because talking Tina would kill any of us. But anyway, so it's a nice sort of through line through the different iterations of the series. Let's talk about our friend Joe Beaumont, the pilot, who fans of Silicon Valley will know as Ross Heneman, which is one of the other shows I do here on AfterBuzz. I don't mention it for no reason. Just self-promotion. But I thought he played the character really well. And look, I know Justin's really stressed out, and he's got 2 minutes left for what's supposed to be the disappearance of this flight. But the guy who's been drinking airline bottles for the whole time you've seen him, is that the guy that's like, hey, you can land this plane? And by land this plane, I mean crash this plane. I don't know. Raven, do you think that... you think Justin's just not thinking clearly, and that didn't enter into his equation? He just was like... I want to live, and that seems to be my only choice.
Yeah, no, not thinking at all. Joe with an E.
Yeah, Joe. Yeah.
So funny.
Right. Yeah, well, no, I mean, Angelica asked the question as opposed to the other ways that you spell right. Joe.
Tell us, right. guys. I want to know the other
way. Other than J-O.
Yeah, maybe it was just a fun little way for him to try to stand out with this completely normally spelled name. Yeah, I guess. No. I get it. We all want to be unique.
Right, exactly.
I don't think he was thinking.
Unique yeah. me.
Are we when we're paranoid and in fear?
Yeah, if you're afraid of your life, I understand, you know, and especially having, like, maybe a mental break or something like that, especially since they already alluded to him previously having, you know, mental breaks, Justin, I mean, Joe, I think, preyed upon that. Mm-hmm. He manipulated that and used it. And
he saw his opportunity, for
yes,
sure.
There were a lot of moments where just kind of, I was wondering, is this guy even real? Is Joe even real? Mm-hmm. Is this a, you know, flashback to some sort of just Fight Club moment where they're on the plane?
Yeah.
Because sorry, spoilers. But yeah, so Joe was the real threat all along. And that was, I guess, maybe the big twist other than the one
and
at the end.
He kept saying, I'm a pilot.
Yeah,
I'm a pilot, trust me. And also, I drink the same tiny bottle of liquor for 20 minutes.
I think they were different bottles. I think they
were they?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure
like
that they weren't the same.
Yeah.
I don't think it was the same
bottle.
Variety. Yeah.
Okay.
I think he just snuck a fistful of them and, you know, he was working his way through.
Sneaky Joe.
Well, you know, that's
E.
With a G. And with an E and a sneaky, with an E on the end of sneaky.
Did anybody predict that? Did you?
That he would drink a lot of
no, that he
bottles
be
of
the doom.
No, yeah. I think that it is something that they could have explored if they, you know, wanted to have like a 40-minute episode instead of 37. Just this idea that, you know, this doubt of like, you know, anytime you deal with time travel or any sort of thing like that, there's often this moment of like, wait a minute, is this what causes that? Mm-hmm. So me not just sitting in my seat and keeping my mouth shut, we would have been fine. And obviously he realizes that at the end. So it is something that they could have dealt with. But he was just all like, I have to stop this.
Right.
And it was good that it was a limited amount of time that he had. You know, he didn't have the whole, whatever they said, 13-hour flight to do that. What did you think of our friend Joe down there at the end of the desk?
So let's see. Yeah, I agree with everyone else. Joe definitely zeroed in on Justin's paranoia and his fear and his anxiety. But I also kind of wondered, did he purposely prey on Justin prior to the flight? You know, that it, granted, the way it was set up was as if it was just pure coincidence, him bumping into him, but mm-hmm.
Yeah, but how do you know he's flying to Tel Aviv? You know, there's a lot of questions, you
right,
know,
right,
at that
okay,
point.
Okay.
But who knows? Maybe right. at the check-in line you see his boarding pass. So there are definitely ways where it's possible for
right.
sure.
I think another thing that, you know, another thing that kind of worked out for Joe, but, you know, was also the downfall for Justin was that because they kind of befriended each other before they got on the flight, that I think that kind of helped him to trust him even more. But mm-hmm. I think he also missed a lot of red flags, you know, where he made mention of, you know, I don't fly anymore because there's some mistakes that I can't
take back.
Mm-hmm. I can't take back. Yeah. Right. Something along those lines.
Probably
and then,
drinking. While
right.
Flying.
And then that, too. You know, he was. You know,
I could never figure out how to land the plane. And they had a problem with that, you know. But
so.
I wrote down one of the things that he said is the best way to spot deceptive behavior, act like a deceptive person. And so the second time I'm trying to like tie it into something. I'm like, no, mm-hmm. it still doesn't quite fit into what he does, but it does highlight the fact that Justin really called so much attention to himself.
Mm-hmm.
So much to the fact that obviously pretty much everybody on the plane was annoyed by Justin at this point. So we do have the... You know, we do have Joe take over the flight. We have all that unfold. And we have what I felt was a great ending, that the plane flies off into the clouds while Fly Me to the Moon fades out. And then they go to a commercial. And I'm like, all right, that was a really short episode. And then they come back. And, this is the sequel we didn't need. This is both Matrix sequels, okay? This is I just didn't need these last few minutes. There's so many questions that Justin's the guy you single out, but yet there's inexplicably a second episode of this podcast. All right, I'm going to just have to shrug that off. But in that second episode of the podcast, they say that all the passengers lived except for him. So that means, to me, that Joe's there, why is Joe not the guy that you kill? Or both of them. I just felt like, okay, so the loss of civility, I get it. It's clever. But I think that the only way that I can summarize that is that was stupid. But I try to be a little bit more objective, and I thought it was, you know, look, Twilight Zone is all about having those twists at the end. I don't know. I just thought that it kind of negated the whole episode for me. But, you know, everything that had come before is like, well, this doesn't make sense. You know, if one or two people did it, you know, maybe like the Russian guys, you know, because it's like, yeah, and, you know, you woke me up from my nap, so I really don't like you. But to something that came up earlier, yes, I did like the little Easter egg of the gremlin doll that had washed up on the shore. I always thought that that was kind of cool. But I don't know. This was just the way that I felt. I was just very disappointed in those final few minutes. What did you think, Raven?
I'm getting Black Mirror vibes. I did think that when I saw the gremlin. Like, oh, we're going to tie something to each episode. So now,
oh, well, and then we also saw Kamal from the first episode. There was a magazine cover.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, in the whatever the newsstand at the mm-hmm. airport. So, yeah, so I like that. And I mm-hmm. think it'll be interesting if we get some more of those. You
right.
know, if there, I don't know, TV in the background of a missing flight 1015. Same airline from the William Shatner episode, by the way. I only know because I watched it last night. But anyway, so what were your thoughts on the whole, though?
I didn't mind the extension.
Oh, I think I'm in the minority, although I will say that Steven, who works here, agrees with me 100%.
Yes,
so.
I heard Steven yeah. say that. Well, I guess it would have felt like I would have wanted to know more. Like, really? I get the plane was supposed to disappear. That's what the podcast was saying the entire time. So you kind of expect not to get more. But
yeah,
also
having seen The Twilight Zone, often you don't really get
right.
the actual answers. You know,
right.
It's a lot. You're supposed to think about it. So I would have been so much happier. You know,
I enjoyed the twist.
Yeah, no, I
didn't want him to die.
I usually enjoy the twist. This was not one of those occasions. But Angelica, what did you think?
I have to agree that I'm not a big fan of those last few minutes.
All
I
right.
felt like it dragged on a little too long.
Yeah. Also, he picks up a rock and he doesn't use it. Like, if you're gonna pick up a rock, throw it, hit somebody in the head.
Right.
I mean, going along with Adam Scott's character, Justin's. You know, character this entire episode. He's a little timid. He's a little,
fair.
You know,
yeah.
He's lurking and snooping more so than just confrontational. But yeah, so those last few minutes were a little too, just elaborating too much on the story. I think in the tradition of, you know, Twilight Zone, or at least the original series, it's a little bit nicer almost to end off on that sort of stoic, ominous note. And so for them to add extra, you know, this is what happens, and this is the foreseeable future, and they get found, and he died, and whoa, what happened? I don't know. It just felt like a little too much elaboration, and it kind of ruined the overall tone.
Yeah, just the idea that everybody on the flight sort of
so
felt
bad.
That way. Like, even the people who, you know, he let their kids sit in first class, and you know what
mm-hmm.
I mean. So like, even they were like, "Yeah, we're gonna kill you." Although the father covers his son's eyes, I guess, but still, nobody says like, "Hey, he's actually not a bad guy." It's like, no, go ahead.
Yeah.
But anyway, what did you think of the ending?
Okay, so I didn't hate the ending. I think what would have possibly been a little bit better was for, you know, when he wakes up and he grabs the, you know, he comes to and he grabs the podcast and he gets the continuation. And they say everyone survived, but then you never see anyone else. And he's just kind of there stranded by himself.
I thought it was at first.
And that would have been perfect. And then that would have been great. Because now I'm like, okay, so whatever happens, because you never know. But obviously we didn't get that. My thing is... Granted, I'm sure that, yes, they did see, you know, while on the flight, the interaction between him and Joe. But I just feel like, what exactly, how did everyone exactly, you know, come to that conclusion, even though they had the cameras to see what was going on in the cockpit, that, hey, now that we've all come to and we're alive, let's go after him.
Everyone's passed out when Joe's speaking to Justin on the intercom. You know what I mean? So they don't hear that.
But they saw him take over the...
Right, but they, and they saw them talking, but I don't think that the... You know, I think... I don't know. It's the flimsiness of it is you know what makes it that much worse. So there's a few people in the chat talking about this. Jackie Gonzalez in the chat. I agree. He disappears without the guilt of the people who killed him. So it just doesn't make sense. Jet Joya Sumpo, I definitely mangled that. If Joe didn't exist, this ties into the Tyler Durden theory from earlier, then maybe Adam Scott was the one who crashed the plane. He was also Joe, which would explain why they go after him. So that does lend itself to that, which is interesting. But I didn't see a lot of the episode in the episode that would really lend itself to that. Beaverus says, I didn't hate it necessarily, but it was a little long as an epilogue that didn't really pay off. Well, I mean, like I said, they only had 34 minutes, so they felt like they had to put something in there. Any case, yeah, and Beaverus agrees that him just being stranded would have been more interesting. Mm-hmm. And Jackie Gonzalez characterizes the surviving crew members as zombies. I don't think that they were zombies. They were just...
No.
They weren't zombies, but there was definitely a Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah, they definitely did look like they were kind of possessed.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Well, yeah, so I don't know. We had two episodes that premiered on the same day last week. And when we talked about this last week, Raven and I, there was a lot of pieces that were written about how people liked one of them and not the other. They were talking about how they liked this one and not the comedian. I just prefer the comedian to this one. It had so much to do with the ending of this.
Yes.
But I don't know. Even before I saw this one, though, I really liked the comedian. I thought they did a good job with that. And we only have a couple of minutes, but Angelica and Cass, since you guys weren't here, do you want to just share an overall thoughts on episode one? I'll ask you first, Angelica.
So I thought the comedian was a... It was a fun twist. I listened to the podcast, and obviously
You mean our show?
I listened to our show.
Oh, my gosh.
And, no, it made me look up, you know, like, the Faustian, you know, bargain or Faustian deal and things like that. And so it was definitely adding that.
You know, when we did the show last week, I forgot to talk about there's that painting that's on the wall, that mural. The and then you see him actually in the suit. Which I thought was just, it was a really cool touch at the end of the episode.
It was a great touch because it made you think all of those people are probably fellow comedians that have literally just sold their soul.
Yeah. Oh, and also, think about it like that. Fame. I thought they were
He moves on to the next one. And this really tells you, do not trust Tracy Morgan for anything.
No. Tracy Morgan, we love you, but we can't trust
you. I mean, he said multiple times during stand-up and, you know, in just regular interviews, he will get you pregnant. So
yes, that's true. No, he... Yes. Yeah. Yeah,
he will get your thumb pregnant. He will get you pregnant.
He wants to make sure
not to be trusted. Yes.
Oh.
What did you think of the comedian?
So what I did was I actually watched them out of order.
Right.
So I actually watched, 30,000 Feet first, and then I went back and I watched The Comedian, and I actually watched it last night, and I loved it. I loved it up until the end. I didn't like him taking himself out. I get why he did, but I didn't like him taking himself out. But other than that, it was great, and, I didn't see it taking that kind of a turn. But yeah, no, I really enjoyed that.
I found that really surprising. So I don't know. Look at
and I kept thinking to myself, what would I do if I had that kind of power?
I would have definitely sold out my girlfriend, and I would have ended up on the TV show with the really bad name that I can't remember what it was now. But the Gower Hour.
I was like, you guys can't do better than that.
Yeah, like, come on. You got a room full of TV writers. You can't come up with the name of a fake TV show. Anyway, I don't know. I think that the show's off to a great start, though. I mean, they're both interesting, and they both look great. So they're spending a lot of money on these, which I think is great. Mm-hmm. And we saw a little snippet of what we're going to get next week, and we'll be back to. I assume the episode's called Rewind because that's what it said in the next time. I don't know, the rewind button on the camera, like a little bit of an old school camcorder, which I guess people still
have.
Just
make it a long one. That's all I ask.
Yeah. Look, at least 45 minutes. No more 37-minute episodes. I don't want that the rest of the series. I'm talking to you, Jordan.
Those few minutes are just, it's too much. Well, look, it's
a streaming service. And it's like, well, I guess, you know what, if it was on network television, it would have to be a certain amount. Mm-hmm. So it would have, some of them would have to be shorter, some of them have to be longer. But that's the infuriating thing about Star Trek Discovery. Sometimes it's an hour and 1 minute, and sometimes that also is like 40 minutes. And I'm like, there's more story to tell. What are you doing? I don't know. I just wanted more. But I guess I shouldn't really complain because they did two episodes.
Well, be
at once.
Careful what you wish for, at least in terms of this episode. Right. Yeah. Because when you got more, it was that ending.
That's true. So how many times are there going to be tacked on little epilogues where I'm like, oh, man, why did they do that? Anyway, we will be back next Monday at 10 Pacific. And we know that the episodes are premiering on Thursdays. But the next couple weeks, for sure, we're going to stay on Mondays. And we'll let you know if and when we are able to change that. But until then, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ChristianDMZ. Raven, where do people find you?
All social media, Raven with an I, Raven French.
I'm Angelica Trey. You can find me on most social platforms at A-Trey, A-Y-Y-T-R-A-E.
All right, and you should already know, but if you don't, you can find me on Twitter, K-A-A-O-S-J, K-I-S-J, and you can find me on Instagram, Chaos_Jones.
All right. Well, great to have the whole panel together. And thanks so much, everybody in the chat, staying up late with us. We will see you next week. Until then, good night, New York.
That was great.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first. We're the biggest in the world. And we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.